Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
So 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And again, you know, as we're going through the book of Chronicles, from this point all the way to the end, it's pretty much a back and forth type of situation with the kings of Judah. And that's what we're talking about exclusively in the book of 2 Chronicles. You have some mention of the kings of Israel, which was the northern kingdom. This is the southern kingdom of Judah. And we're starting to get close to the time when Judah is going to go into captivity. And so you have a few good kings who are left. Uzziah, the one that we're going to talk about first this evening, is one of them. But what happens is the good kings are pretty good. Uzziah has some failings, but he's still a pretty good guy. But then the bad kings start getting worse and worse and worse. And every time one of the good kings comes up, he'll turn Judah back to the Lord on a certain level. And sometimes there's a great revival, and we may get to that tonight too. But it seems like every turning back is something that does not affect the country as much as it should. And it's something that I keep in mind when I think about the United States. You know, the United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The guys who wrote the Declaration of Independence, the guys who wrote the Constitution, they were literally getting laws out of the Bible, you guys. And don't let anybody tell you any differently. That's exactly what was happening. And so they founded the country on Christian principles. And as long as we stand by the principles that they founded the country with, things go well. But once you start turning away from those principles, and specifically away from God, what happens is people start just going off on their own. And so happened in Israel in ancient times. You had the giving of the law to the people of Israel, and not too long after that, they began doing what was right in their own eyes. And it says in the theme verse of Judges is, there was no king in those days. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And in the book of Judges, you have one outrage after another outrage after another outrage till you get to the end of the book of Judges. One of the worst chapters in the Bible is about a guy who's a Levite and he has a concubine and he lets her get raped all night long. And he comes out the next morning, says, "Get up, let's go." And she's dead. And so he cuts her into 12 pieces and sends the pieces to the tribes of Israel, and they come down against the tribe of Benjamin, which is where the guys who raped her all night came from. And you just have this train wreck of a situation. And the thing that turns it around is Samuel. The next book is the book of Samuel. And Samuel is the last of the judges, and he's a guy who actually serves the Lord. And so it turns around, you go from Samuel to David, basically, and then things start looking up. But at this point, we're on the downhill slide of the nation of Judah, and you have guys who will serve the Lord for a period of time and turn the nation around, but then many times the next king is somebody who's just wicked and sends the nation even further into the abandonment of God and actually the embracing of the occult and the embracing of paganism. And it finally gets to the point where when we get to the end of Chronicles, God's going to be done. And he's going to let the nation be destroyed. And he's going to let the people be taken off into captivity. And, you know, this is something that happens with nations all the time. You know, you go down through history and you see this progression in the history of a nation. And usually it starts out with people who are very idealistic, people who have a high amount of integrity. And usually what's happening is they're reacting to the world that's around them, and they want something better. And so a nation is formed. And then as they live by those principles, what ends up happening, you know, there's honor and there's integrity and there's those kinds of things going on. And as they live by those principles, the nation gets more and more prosperous. But the problem with prosperity is you get more time on your hands, and a nation goes from prosperity to a situation where many times it becomes immoral. And so, you know, there's a classic illustration of the progress that nations go through. And so apathy is a part of that, and then immorality is a part of that. And the nation usually goes back into bondage. And then what happens is we start up again after that nation's been destroyed. And again, you can see this all down through history. And it was the case with the nation of Israel. And so that's where we're at. We're looking at these guys, and again, the history of each one of these guys is going to be pretty similar in that sense. Let's pray before we get into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our nation. We thank you for the fact that you put us in a place where we can actually gather here, and we don't have any fear of anybody from another religion coming in and shooting us up or blowing us up or anything like that. I realize that our nation is getting more and more violent as time goes on, but really, we don't really think about those things as we gather together. We're just here in freedom because of the things that men and women have done before us. We're standing on the shoulders of people who served and trusted and moved in the arena of you, and they love freedom and they love righteousness, Lord. And God, we just pray that you would help us to be the same. In any case, as we're going through the history of the nation of Judah, we just pray that you'd help us to take from these passages the things that we need to see. These things happen in nations. These things happen in individuals' lives too. We start off running well and serving you. And after a time, apathy can set in. And then immorality can set in. And then there's just a rebellion that can take place, and we walk away. Father, we pray that you'd help us not to be that way. In any case, Lord, pray that you bless the study of your word, and ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 26, it says, "Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eilat and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." And so one of the things that you need to know about this is he starts his reign at 16, but there's a 24-year co-reign with his father, Amaziah. Remember in the previous chapter, his father was in captivity. And so it looks like as when Amaziah went to war, again, it's one of those things where a king would go to war and he didn't want to leave his kingdom without a ruler. And so they would make their son a co-regent. And so he became king at 16. He actually ruled for the whole period of his rule from the time that he was 16 until the time he died. He had a reign of 52 years, but he also had a 24-year co-reign with his father. That would be coincidental to the 52 years. In other words, take 24 off 52, and that's the reign of Uzziah after his father died. Uzziah is mentioned in the book of Isaiah. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and his glory filled the temple. And there were angels around the throne saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.'" And one of the reasons for that chapter in the book of Isaiah actually is because of despair. Uzziah was a good king, and he was a godly man. We're going to see that at the end of his reign, he blew it, but he was a good king, and he had a long reign, 52 years. Can you imagine a good president, really awesome president, for 52 years? Somebody who just always did what was right, always cared about the people, always, you know, cared about the country, you know, just always did what was right. Can you imagine 52 years of a guy like that, and then he dies? And then you start, and you remember what your history's like? And the fact that, you know, it's like almost every other king ends up being a real jerk, you know, that kind of thing. We have that every 4 to 8 years. basically. We have that kind of situation going on. And so Isaiah's starting his prophecy at the time when King Uzziah died, and he's probably pretty bummed out about the whole fact that Uzziah's gone, because this is a guy that was keeping the nation of Judah together. And what God did in Isaiah chapter 6 is he got Isaiah's eyes in the right place. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What God's doing with him is he's letting him know that Uzziah was not the one who was keeping the nation together. It was the Lord himself who was keeping the nation together. We have this tendency to focus on rulers and politics and that kind of thing. And I think that we have a responsibility in those areas. You know, I voted. Hopefully you voted too. I think that God's put us in the country that we're in the time that we're in, to be an influence in our country, and because of that, in our world. I think that's really important. But I'm not trusting in President Trump. I am not trusting in Maria Cantwell. I am not trusting in Newhouse. I'm not trusting in these guys, these people and women. These people are politicians. And what I want to do is get the best politician, I think, in office and in the place to do what's right by the country and hopefully what's right by God. Sometimes you don't get to have both of those things, but what I'm trying to do is do the best in those kinds of arenas. But ultimately, the one who's in control of everything is God. And he puts people in charge, and there are times when he puts people in charge and I don't agree with him. I watch politics. And I'm like, why is this dude in charge? And so there are times when he does that kind of stuff, and the Bible says that whoever's in charge has been put there by God and that they need to be respected. We need to trust God in that. That's in Romans chapter 13. You can read it in the whole chapter there. But ultimately, the one that I'm trusting in is the Lord. You know, politics is not going to be something that changes the hearts of people. We've had lots of politics. You know, I've been watching politics since the 1980s. That's when I first got interested in it. And politics has done nothing to unify this country. It's done nothing to fix all the problems. It's done nothing. In fact, in some of the places where politicians are the most prevalent and they have the most power, you have the biggest mess. And you can look at certain cities in the country and see those things. And I think that I have a responsibility in those areas, but that's not what I'm trusting in. The only thing that's gonna change this country for real and for good, and I mean for good, making things good, is people who have a relationship with Christ. The only politician who's ever going to change the United States in a really good way is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's going to be Jesus. There's coming a time when we get a good king who's going to last much longer than 52 years. It's going to be 1,000, is what it says in the book of Revelation. And then after that, after he's done with that kingdom, then we're going to have another kingdom that lasts for eternity. That's what I'm talking about, is the millennium. And the new heaven and the new earth. In any case, Isaiah lived during the time of Uzziah, okay? Actually, right before his death is when Isaiah comes into the picture. And so that's kind of interesting. This guy did what was right, and he built a lot. That was a port that was made famous by Solomon, and it passed through the hands of different kings. Edom was always taking a lot, and so he built a lot and restored it, and so he's got some things going on with shipping there, and he was also a disciple of Zechariah, who we ran into in the last couple of chapters. And verse 5, it says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And the point that's being made there is this guy had a godly influence in his life, and it was this man Zechariah. It's always a good thing when you have a godly influence in your life, somebody who spurs you on in your relationship with God, somebody who holds you accountable. How you been doing with the Lord? You know, what'd you read today? Did you pray? You know, that kind of thing. Somebody who'll come along and just spur you on. What's God been saying to you lately? That kind of stuff. And when you've got people like that in your life, man, it can just make an awesome impact on you. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be that much. You know, there are times when Mitch comes into my office and he tells me what he'd been reading in his quiet time that morning, and I realize I haven't had a quiet time. I get jealous. I don't tell him, but I get jealous. And I'm like, get out of my office, because I want to read my Bible, man. And I don't tell them that either. Just get out of my office. You know, I'm jealous of you. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm goofing around, right? But there are times when I see people in their walk with God, and it's like they're doing something that I haven't done, or they're getting something from the Lord that I'm not getting, and it makes me mad because I'm competitive. And so I'm competitive in my walk with God too, and I don't want you having a better one than I do. And so, you know, you spur each other on to love and good works. In any case, Zechariah was a guy like that in Uzziah's life. And as long as he sought the Lord, then God caused him to prosper. And that is always the case. You seek the Lord and God prospers you. You abandon the Lord, and what happens is you become a prey to the world. The world starts going after you. And again, we're going to see that. And so the next, it talks about Uzziah's godliness in verses 1 through 5, and then it talks about his victories. And victory always comes from godliness. If you're getting creamed all the time, if you can't seem to stand up on your own, if everything is falling apart in your life, one of the places that you seriously need to look, and it's not the case all the time, but one of the places that you seriously need to look is, how's your walk with God? Are you reading? Are you praying? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you a godly person? Is your reading and praying actually changing your life? Church attendance for church attendance sake is worthless. In fact, it's worse than worthless. It can make you harden to the things of God. But if every time you come into church, you get challenged by what the Word of God has to say, and you start having a heart that just desires the Lord more and more, you can expect that God's going to start blessing you, and that he's going to give victory to you in all kinds of areas. That's the way that it goes. And that's what we see with Uzziah. It says, now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Maonites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. Carmel is an area in northern Israel, actually. For he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 370,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. One of the things that's interesting about this passage is what you have in verse 15. This guy is prosperous enough, and he's motivated enough to have guys making weapons of warfare that you don't really see in obvious use until you come down to the times of the Romans. And so he's got catapults that are flinging stones. That's usually a Middle Ages type of thing. That's usually where you see those things in warfare. And this whole thing for shooting arrows, it's obviously a machine for shooting arrows. And again, they were probably large ones. And so if you ever watched Gladiator, at the beginning of the movie Gladiator, when they're, you know, when they're catapulting, you know, flaming things, shooting the big arrows, all that. That's what Uzziah had during his reign. You know, victory comes from obedience. And in this passage in verse 15, it ends with, so his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Marvelously helped till he became strong. You walk with God, that's what's going to happen with you. You're going to be marvelously helped until you become strong. And so it's a good impetus to walk with God. Then you have the end of Uzziah's reign and where Uzziah blew it. One of the things that we need to remember as Christians is that when I'm strong is the point in time where I need to watch myself and make sure that I'm not lifted up in pride. I need to watch myself and make sure that I'm not thinking that I'm beyond things. You know, I've been a Christian since 75, and so that's 43 years. So I've been a Christian for 43 years. I kind of got some stuff down, don't you think? I know my Bible pretty well. You know, people ask me questions. I can, you know, if I don't know the exact verse, I can find it, you know, pretty quick. I've been reading my Bible for a very long time. God's changed a whole lot of things in my life. There are things that I don't really struggle with like I did when I was first a Christian. I'm pretty strong. I'm pretty studly up here, you guys. Just want you to know that. Here I am, stud. And people who get that kind of attitude are people who are open to all kinds of attacks. What Paul said is, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And Paul wasn't a weak man. You know, in the context, he was talking about the fact that he was going through an illness, and he had prayed three times for the illness to be taken away from him, and God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And so I look at my life, and my life is different from when I first came to know Jesus, and I am stronger. If you compare me now to what I was when I was first a Christian, there is a change, and so I am stronger. But you know what? I'm smart enough to know that, no, I'm not. I'm not all that hot. And actually, I have a number of weaknesses, and I still watch out for them. And so even in the areas of my strength, and part of this comes from reading my Bible, even in the areas of my strength, I watch out for things because, you can always have this tendency to start leaving God behind and saying, "God, you can just step back on this one because I know what I'm doing." And then step out on your own, and you do that enough, see what happens to you. It's not going to be good. It was, for example, the whole sin with David and Bathsheba took place when after David had gone through all his struggles, after David had consolidated his kingdom, not only in Judah, but in the northern part of Israel, after all of Israel was following after him, after he had a staff that was awesome, he had a general that was going out and fighting his battles for him. And the Bible says that in the days, you know, in the time of year when kings made war, David stayed home. And that's when he got all caught up with the whole thing with Bathsheba. So God's done all this cool stuff to consolidate David's kingdom and to make him the man of God that he's supposed to be and the king that he's supposed to be, and he's there. He's arrived in a lot of areas, and what ends up happening is he falls to something just completely stupid, and it's because he let down his guard. And so I always need to understand that no matter what Jesus does in my life, I need to understand that in me, in myself, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. That's what Paul said about himself. In my flesh, there dwells no good thing. The only good I got going is what Jesus is doing with me. So I'm never going to be strong enough to be doing it without Jesus. He'll make me stronger than I was, but I'm never going to be strong enough. God needs to be the one who's always in control of my life. And when Uzziah gets to this point, he's been marvelously helped by God till he became strong. When he gets to that point, then all of a sudden bad things start happening. It says, verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction."
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.